Production.
Good morning. It's Friday. Today's show is brought to you by Rosenberg's. Was that your computer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Thanks a lot. It is Tillamook County Wellness Day and interview day of the month. And I have Todd Hesse from Rockaway Fire and Dennis Greiner, Tillamook County Sheriff, Marine Deputy. We're going to be talking about water safety. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yep, it's warm out. Well, not right now, but it's the warm season. It's summer. So we have a lot of people out visiting. We have a lot of locals that are in the water, fishing, crabbing, trying to cool off. We're going to talk about water safety. Where do we want to start? Because there's a lot of different things. What would you like to start with?
I mean, let's start with the basic life jackets.
Oh, yes. So life jackets. What is the rule, law? Ordinance? I don't know. What is it?
It's the law.
What is the law on life jackets? Who has to wear a life jacket?
Well, underway on a boat.
Meaning you're on the boat and the boat's moving?
12 years and under have to have a life jacket, a properly fit life jacket on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A boater, the captain of the boat is to be sure that they have the proper amount of life jackets on board, properly fit for all the passengers that are on the boat.
So regardless of their age?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you need to have a life jacket for everyone on board.
And then if they're 12 and under, they have to be wearing it.
They have to be wearing it.
Is there a...
Actually wearing it.
Yes. Is there... Well, there are Coast Guard approved life jackets, I think, right?
Or, yeah, they all have to be U.S. Coast Guard approved.
Okay, they have to be. Okay. And so is that something that's on a life... I don't know because I haven't looked at a life jacket.
Yeah, label on it.
Okay, that says Coast Guard approved.
Denotes that it is U.S. Coast Guard approved, then what mm-hmm. type of life jacket. We won't get into the types of life jackets.
Because there's lots of different ones.
There are inflatables and inherently buoyant. But I got some information from the Marine Board.
Yes.
Some like statistical stuff. So over 85% of boating fatalities in Oregon are from a life jacket not being worn.
Sounds similar to being in a car without having your seatbelt on.
I don't know the
I know, but I'm saying like that. That's
it's the same
like,
kind of thing.
But it's like if you're going to be in a car and wear a seatbelt, or if you're in a car, wear a seatbelt. If you're in a boat, wear a life jacket.
Yeah.
Well, even if you feel like you're a decent swimmer,
mm-hmm.
because we were just talking about, it's cold.
Yeah.
It's cold out there, you bet.
And water is powerful.
Very powerful. And, you know, I think, too, we get some complacency if we're just here to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
We're summer. We're going to go swim in the ocean. We're going to play, you know, off a boat. And we forget safety.
Mm-hmm.
And like Dennis says, I think, you know, there are requirements, but there's also recommendations. Anytime you're in the water, you should have a proper flotation device.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By the way, water wings, not a proper flotation device for kids.
That's correct.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you have other statistics you wanted to mention?
No, it's just long gone are the days of the, you know, the big orange,
sure.
bulky, boxy life jacket. Mm-hmm. That's just for a, you know, to have on board to meet the minimum requirements. They make life jackets in all kinds of shapes and sizes. They're super comfortable. Inflatables, which are machines, we all need to remember
mm-hmm.
that they can fail. But inherently buoyant, which is just a regular floating life jacket, if you have a proper fit, nice, comfortable one, if you fall in the water, you're going to float.
Right. When you say an inflatable, is that one that inflates when it hits the water?
There are different types. So there's pull type only,
mm-hmm.
where you have to
be alert
and oriented
it.
And be
right.
able to activate it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And children, you know, or 16 and under cannot wear a... inflatable life vest.
They have to have one that's already...
You need to be older, 16 or older to wear one. But with that being said, so yeah, there's a pull type only, and then there's automatically, the ones that automatically inflate.
Mm-hmm. When they hit the water.
Right. Mm-hmm. And some of the life jackets that are inflatable have to be worn to be valid on the boat. So read the label. There'll be a label
gotcha.
On the inside of the life jacket, and the U.S. Coast Guard... has approved them, it will be spelled out how it is to be worn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very important. I don't know how much you contact boaters. Dennis, you obviously contact a lot of boaters because you're the Marine Deputy for the county. How many times do you contact people in a boat and they don't have enough life jackets for the people that are on the boat and didn't realize they needed to or say they didn't realize?
I mean, yeah, it happens. They're,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're all only human. so we forget, or they get blown out of the boat on the way here. I mean, there
are
reasons. And again, I should say, when I contact a boat on the water, if you don't have proper PFD flotation devices in your boat, you're going back to the dock. It's mm-hmm. a mandatory termination of your voyage. Mm. So you're going back mm-hmm. and you're going to get a citation. Mm-hmm. Life jackets are a big deal. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to.
Would you recommend for people, like, especially younger kids, even if they're playing like in the surf, if on the beach, would you recommend that they're wearing some type of life jacket?
Yeah, we absolutely recommend that. Any, you know, I don't know that we have an age limit, but we make a lot of contacts, and probably 10 or 12 and under, just like that's required, we recommend, because we can't require it, but yes, we do like see flotation devices.
Sure. Well, and I'm going to kind of segue that into, if you are playing out in the surf and kind of right there, you know, on the beach, you can get sucked out in a riptide.
Real quick. Mm-hmm. And even if you're just having a very strong swimmer, that water is cold. And I think we forget about that because we look at, you know, we're at the ocean. Mm-hmm. Inland where we just left was 90 degrees, 100 degrees. We get on that ocean that's 50 some degrees and you get, you know, first stage of hypothermia kicking in. And you're numb, and before you know it, you've taken a gulp of seawater, and now you're in desperate trouble. And mm-hmm. and that's where we see the most, that and the power, like you say, the rip currents, and it happens fast, mm-hmm. just fast.
Yeah.
One minute you're in control, having fun, the next you're not.
And you're like, all of a sudden, oh, I'm way farther out than I thought I was.
Right.
And you're getting sucked out into the ocean.
Or the surf pounds you hard, mm-hmm. and... Yeah, and next thing you know, you've stepped off a little ledge of where that riptide is, and you're 100 feet out in the water, and now you're in desperate trouble. Mm-hmm.
So, should you get stuck in a rip current, what is the proper protocol, or what should you do?
Well, don't try to swim against it. Obviously, mm-hmm. that's the cardinal rule. Try to swim out to the sides of it, get in the out of the rip current, and then the tidal or the surf will actually push you back in.
Yeah. Yes, cold. Growing up as a kid, we used to go to Cape Kiwanda before it is what it is now. And we used to just go stand in the water and let our feet and our legs numb up a little bit before we started playing because it was just so cold. I mean, it's a northern current, I think, right? Isn't it coming from...
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We're coming from.
Yeah, you're in the North Pacific. And you know, it warms up into the high 50s in the warmest part of the year. Mm-hmm. And that's still way too cold.
Yeah. Well, and our rivers are coming from the mountains. Like, those are also not warm. And
it's a major issue. So, cold water's top concern. When you go overboard and you hit that cold water, the shock alone can make the drowning process happen a lot faster. Mm-hmm. That life jacket will keep your head above that water, let your body come to and figure out what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I like to tell people, you know, people kind of give me a hard time about wearing a life jacket or having it like by the mouth of the bays and whatnot. But I tell some of these older boaters who've been boating longer than I've been alive, when's the last time you were in the water?
Right.
When's the last time you actually went in the water? Mm-hmm. Like, would you know what to do? Mm-hmm. Like, it's something that you've never trained on, or maybe they have, but you know, most people haven't trained on jumping into the cold water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The cold water and not wearing a life jacket is bad. And that's what we have around here. We have a lot of people that don't wear their life jacket. They have them, but they don't wear it. They're not cognizant of, you know, where it is in the boat, whatnot. And I try to do a lot of education when I'm on mm-hmm. the water. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to have your life jacket in an unlatched compartment on the boat.
Sure.
Because if the boat does capsize,
you need to be able to get to
where the life jacket's going to go. So if they're readily accessible, if they're hanging on the back of a seat or just floating around in the boat, if the boat does go over, mm-hmm. you're going to have what they call a yard sail. So all the stuff that floats in the boat is up. And hopefully you can swim a couple strokes and grab a life jacket.
Sure.
So it's important to have them out.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of fishermen don't want to have them out because they don't want to get the fish guts and, you know, all the bait and crap all over all their vests and whatnot, mm-hmm. but
what's more important, the bait or your life?
Right.
Yeah. Sure. And I think that goes that complacency we talked about earlier, you know, as Dennis is saying, you know, the educational component's huge for us mm-hmm. because we look at every opportunity and contact. Yes. Yeah. Even today, mm-hmm. you know, every contact we have you practiced? Are you prepared? Mm-hmm. Everywhere we look, we have to work that direction.
Yeah. Right. You mentioned properly fit life jackets. How do you know that a life jacket is properly fit? And is there somewhere, like, can you go somewhere to double check that the life jackets fit a child or an adult properly? Like, where, how do we know that? Good question.
They're based on weight. They recently changed the rating system on their, here's a good rule of thumb, okay, without getting too technical. Uh-huh. What I do with the child, whenever there's a child on a boat, I try to make contact and make sure that they have the proper fit life jacket on. I mean, I can see it. You can see if you put a little kid in an adult life jacket, right, you can tell. The problem is if they do go in the water, what they're going to do is they're going to try to swim and their little body's going to sink.
Right.
And the life jacket's going to go float, up.
Yeah.
And they're going to put their arms up and the life jacket will come right off of their body. Mm-hmm. So if it's properly fit, it'll be snug enough so it won't slip up off of their body. So what I do is at the dock, or, you know, I'll have a parent in a boat, I have their child lift their arms up and grab the life jacket by the shoulders and lift straight up. And you'd be amazed at how many times the life jacket just comes right off the kid.
And can that be that it's just not tightened down all the way?
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes.
I was going to say, that's exactly, by the way, what Google AI says. Raise your arms and pull up on the shoulder straps. Well, it's just taking information. Yeah. If the jacket touches your ears or chin or rides up over your face, it's too large and needs to be tightened. Or to be tightened. Yeah.
Yeah. And basically there's a rating system on them for, you know, like adult and child, youth,
okay,
and whatnot.
Cool. Other things that we should talk about. I feel like the locals are aware of the changing tides and the tide tables. I think there's probably a little less more known when we have visitors in town. But let's talk about the tides. We have a high tide and a low tide twice a day in a 24-hour period. I know Neatarts Bay in particular can get very shallow and almost look like just the beach if it's a very low tide, and then the water comes back in and people are out in the middle and they get stuck. That's happened, I think, recently.
It's a beautiful and deadly waterway.
Yes. What do you want to talk about? What do you want people to know about the changing tides and how to look up tide tables and what to know? Like, how do you understand what that means, what the tide high and the low is and the timing and all that? How do you explain that to somebody?
That great question. Yeah, tides are very important, especially in our bays. They're really, you know, the water in Tillamook Bay or Neatarts Bay comes in very fast and goes out very fast. And I think it catches a lot of people off guard, especially folks like to get in the kayaks or small flotation boats, and you'll find them getting pulled out in the ocean real quick. But tide tables are available everywhere. There's an app on the phone that I use.
You can just Google it.
Tides Near Me works really well in real time. You always have where the tide's at.
Yep.
Or you can get a tide book that are available, I would say, almost every town, every marine. Yeah, yep. Chambers, sure. You know. Every
departments.
Yeah, fire departments, just city halls, everywhere. If you're going to be anywhere near the water, you should know what the tide's doing. Very important.
Yeah, check that tide, that weather. So the tide, when the tide's, you know, going out, especially like in Neatarts, it's so strong.
Yeah.
Especially a high tidal exchange. So like a big exchange, you know, 8-10 foot exchange. The mouth of that bay is like a suction device. It's Mother Nature, you know, sucking in that spaghetti, you know. If you don't know what you're
like
doing,
like a drain, like a bathtub drain, kind of.
Yeah, it pulls. I mean, I've been out there in my jet boat, and, you know, I'm like half throttle and I'm just stationary. Or miles per hour says zero. It moves pretty good. So if you're in trouble out there, one thing, have an anchor. It's like a parking brake.
Sure.
Right? So have an anchor and know how to use it. Always anchor off your bow. So if you're in trouble, you run over a crowd pot line, you can have a brand new engine. What we like to call Coast Guard captains come out here sometimes. They have a brand new boat.
You mean credit card captains?
What'd I say?
Coast Guard captains.
Oh, yeah.
Don't say that.
No, definitely not. No,
that's not what we meant. Credit card captains.
Credit card captains. Yes. So they have all this money and they go buy this big, beautiful boat, you know, and I say, hey, you ever been out here before? Oh, I know what I'm doing. Well, have you ever run over a crowd pot line? You know, they don't like razz me. Well, you don't have an anchor on your boat. I'd be a little careful. Da, da, da. And everybody wants to go play in the mouth. Everyone wants to go visit the mouth and go, you know, boat around. But I try to tell people, you know, even if you have a brand new high powered engine, once you hit that crowd pot line and it wraps around your prop, you're done. Mm-hmm. That motor's done. So, and to get the crab pot line off, you're going to have to stop or move, you know, to the shore. But if you have an anchor, you just throw an anchor out.
Right.
And then you know, if you have a problem, it may take me an hour, 2 hours to get to where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not on every bay all the time.
Right.
And always you're available. So just keep that in mind. Have an anchor, a proper fit anchor. If you need to know more information, you can always call me and I can give you some more advice. But have a good anchor and know how to use it. With that being said, stand-up paddleboarders. We do so many rescues on stand-up paddleboarders that get blown across the bay.
Mm-hmm.
That wind picks up and you've been messing with the tide, or you don't understand the tide, so you're against the tide, so you're trying to get back to the dock, and the tide's against you, and the wind's blowing you, and you're getting tired, and you get blown all the way across the bay.
Because essentially, standing up on a paddleboard, you are the sail. Your body is the sail.
Yep.
And is there, I mean, can you sit down on a paddleboard?
Sure.
You could, but I don't know if that would be any more effective.
I mean, it's pretty safe to say. I mean, the locals know that, you know, early afternoon, the wind picks up.
Yeah,
it's just, it's just a daily thing.
Yeah.
So if you know about the wind.
Well, there was that lady, I think, was that last weekend? Up in Halem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that, thank God.
I mean, she's fine. And she was fine because she had a life jacket on.
She did.
She was wearing a life jacket. Let's wrap that back up, though, to the life jackets and paddle boards. Should you be wearing a life jacket? Because is a paddle board is not technically a boat?
It is a vessel. The U.S. Coast Guard has deemed that a vessel. Minimum equipment on a stand-up paddle board.
Mm-hmm. Because that's like a newer thing that people are getting into.
Well, yeah.
I mean, ish.
So you have to have a life jacket.
On or with you.
With you. Preferably on. You need to have a whistle or horn, some kind of sound-producing device, and what's called a waterway access permit.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be 10 foot and under didn't need it, but now a waterway access permit is required for all vessels.
All gotcha. Vessels.
Same on kayak. It's a PFD. You have to have one on board. A whistle.
Mm-hmm.
A waterway access permit. Yeah, I can't stress the importance of actually wearing your life jacket.
Mm-hmm. If you're in the water.
Right.
Yeah.
You can be, I'll tell you what, you can be an Olympic swimmer. You can be a really good swimmer. But yeah, Mother Nature's going to win. The current, the cold water. And if you don't practice in the water all the time, you just get surprised by it. It can take your life. It happens.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, it happens way too often. We just had an experienced surfer get caught in the surf out of Rockaway, and they were in distress in a dry suit and could not get out of the rip and were in complete distress. Without a rescue, they were going to get tumbled out in the ocean and possibly drowned. And so even a prepared, strong swimmer has a lot of potential to have a problem.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I think we need to talk about, especially because we do have a lot of visitors in the summertime, is the power of the water, driftwood. I think it was Memorial Day. Somebody took a video of somebody, like three people and a kid standing on driftwood in the tide. Like they were at the end of the tide, like the tide, I don't know if it was going out or in, but I thought, oh my gosh, I hope somebody told them get off of that driftwood, because that can just tumble around so easily in that water. It very little water to be very powerful.
Right, but it's a great photo opportunity.
Sure,
and what can possibly go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
We see that all the time. And that, I think that incident may even happen on our beach.
I think it was.
And, you know, we try to immediately educate on that. Is that ocean takes that like a little twig and tosses you around or can trap you underneath that.
Yep.
And we don't want that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, not good.
No.
Be careful. I'm going to take a quick break and talk about our sponsor, Rosenberg's. Where do you go to find almost anything you need for home improvement? I'll tell you where. Rosenberg's. Rosenberg's has been your local connection for anything you need to build and finish your house to perfection. Carpet, cabinets, paint, electrical, plumbing, nuts and bolts, fencing, windows, doors, and so much more. All those items in one place, but that's only part of the story. What really makes Rosenberg's your stop for home improvement is their people. Their knowledgeable, friendly staff is there to help you through any project. Any question, from what paint you should use to how to install a new shower valve, you can get the help you need to do it right the first time. Stop by Rosenberg's today to rediscover what you've known all along. It's better to shop local and work with great people you can see every day. Build it, plumb it, wire it, paint it. Rosenberg Builder Supply, Tillamook. I'm talking with Todd Hesse from Rockaway Fire and Dennis Greiner from Tillamook County Sheriff. He is the Marine Deputy. What else do we want to talk about? You have a lot of notes over there, friend.
I have a lot to talk about. Well, I mean, I just started thinking about this before I came here, and there's a ton. So things, yes. things I come into contact with, overloading. Mm. Too many people in a boat. Mm-hmm. Your boat may say you can have, you know, for argument's sake, 1,000 pounds in it and four people. You know, if you have 8 children in a boat, and, you know, yeah, if we weighed everybody and your gear, you may be under 1,000 pounds or whatever it is.
Right.
But the U.S. Coast Guard placard says 4, and I go by number. Mm-hmm. What happens is, in these little tiny boats, and you're out crabbing, let's say you're, you know, knee tarts. The kids are excited to crab. So you throw your crab pots over, you pull them back up, you got a whole bunch of crab in it.
Oh, sure.
All the kids move to one side of the boat. The stern corner of the boat dips into the water. Then you have a wave of water coming into the mm-hmm. boat. So what does everybody do? They run
to the other side.
Move to the other side of the boat, and all that water follows the weight. So then it moves to the other side, then you have a capsized boat mm-hmm. and a whole bunch of children in the water. Mm-hmm. And it works the same way with adults. Mm-hmm. You know, you get... You know, the boat says 4 people, and you have 4 300-pound men in a boat. That's, you know, you're overloaded. Mm-hmm. It may say 4, but, you know, the captain needs to use his best discretion. Mm-hmm. You know, you may be overloaded double. It'd say it's 4 people, but you're overloaded double with the weight.
Right, right.
Overloading, capsizing, big deal. Another thing I just want to bring up quick, wearing waders. Like if you're fishing on the shore.
Yes, yes.
There is a belt that you're supposed to wear with your waders around your waist is to keep, you know, kind of the water out
of your feet.
Of your feet. But
should you get sunk or get water in there?
Right. Mm-hmm. So if you're wearing waders on the bank, if you're a bank fisherman, you should probably have a life jacket on. Mm-hmm. Because if you've ever gone in the water with waders on, you'll know immediately that your feet float more than your lower body floats more than your top.
Sure,
so you're
sure.
struggling.
Yeah.
Your feet are up and you're struggling to keep your head above water because right. you can't, your feet won't go under you.
Right, right.
A life jacket will prevent that. Then they start to fill up with water, especially mm-hmm. if you don't have a belt on. Mm-hmm. And then that's like a giant anchor. Mm-hmm. And you can't swim well with waders full of water. And that's how people lose
drown.
Their life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so if you're standing on the bank.
Do they have clips on the.
Yeah, they're suspenders.
Yeah. But then are they so tight on your feet it's hard to get them off? I don't know because I don't wear waders.
Yeah,
they could be. Yeah, I mean, I would imagine it'd be hard to take them off
when
underwater.
When we pull people out of the water,
yes,
we cut them. We cut the right. bottom to drain all the water out.
Gotcha.
Because you're pulling up all that weight of the person yep. and all the water
full
weight.
Full of water, yeah.
Waders are dangerous.
Yeah.
Waders are very dangerous. Mm-hmm. So just keep that in mind. It comes with a belt.
Wear it.
You should wear a life jacket. You should wear a life jacket with waders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, period. That's a great
jacket,
yeah
period.
Yeah. Well, and you think about that, you know, we would talk about all these safety tips. Then you get into that rescue situation. If you do get in distress in the ocean or the bays or the rivers, we're not immediately there either. You know,
right.
it takes us time. So you got to give us our best chance. If you're mm-hmm. wearing a life preserver or a PFD, we gives us a chance to get to you.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, seconds count and we're not sitting on the beaches. We're not sitting in the rivers. Mm-hmm. It takes time to develop that rescue portion of what we do.
Sure.
Well, especially in the busy season, because it takes us even longer to get there because of traffic, because no one will get out of the way.
Yeah.
Like don't learn.
We're not here for that, but he's right.
I was just going to yes. say, Sadie and I have an ongoing, I don't even want to call it a joke, but like an ongoing conversation about how we'll be driving around and watching people not get out of the way of an emergency vehicle,
right.
whether it's an ambulance, fire, sheriff, PD, whatever. Pull over. I do not understand it. I don't understand it.
Well, it definitely delays our response times.
Sure.
And then you get people waiting on the other end going, well, what took you so long?
Right.
Well, yeah, the yeah. traffic yeah. not getting yeah. out of the way.
To the drivers out there, you don't know what we're going to.
Right.
Right. You know, there could be some, you know, a 2-year-old in cardiac arrest in the back of an ambulance and they're trying mm-hmm. to get them to the hospital and you're just.
Yes, I know.
Blocking traffic. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but yeah, we're
it's
here.
Maddening.
We're here on vacation, you know, relaxing and we get complacent and we're just here to have a good time. We forget. I can tell you some good example going through Rockaway the other day on the 4th. And there's people crossing the road in front of me because they're just crossing the road to get to the ice cream shop, or they're getting, you know, and I've got lights and sirens and they don't seem to matter. And it is frustrating because we are trying to get there to get help there as soon as we possibly can.
Yeah. It's baffling. It is so baffling. There is this thing, we talked about this, not with you guys, somebody else, when there was a lot of incidents happening at Cape Kiwanda where people were going over the fence line a couple years ago. I mean, I know, I'm sure it still happens, but it was pretty frequent a couple years ago. And maybe was it, I don't remember who it was, but they were saying like there's a thing where people, when they vacation, they have this invincible attitude where they think like, well, I'm on vacation, nothing's going to happen to me.
Right.
Well, guess what? Those are actually the people that usually something does happen to, because they're not on guard and not aware of what's happening around them.
Well, I think something that gets forgotten on going on that thought is you get somebody to go over a fence or get out on the rocks, and it not only puts the person that gets in trouble in danger and jeopardy, but the rescuers have to risk their lives then to be able to save somebody. So it's double the risk, and we'd like to come home to our families too.
Yeah, for sure.
Amen.
What else do you have on your list? Are you looking up something?
Yeah, some of the Marine Board, Brian Paulson of the Marine Board gave me some talking points. So I get a little
Make sure we mention you're doing fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we can send him this audio and be like, look at how good Dennis did.
So a couple things. Yeah, so most common factors in boating fatalities in Tillamook County are a life jacket not being worn, capsizing, and hazardous waters such as a bar crossing or a tidally influenced water.
Like the mouth of the bay.
Right.
I actually wrote that down. But you mentioned it. It's very dangerous right there. Yeah.
Yep. You know, always wear your life jacket.
It's the Mason guys.
Carry some kind of communication device. Phones sometimes don't work after they've been submerged in water. Ask me how I know. So, you know, Marine VHF radio, VHF 16. Knowing your boat limitations. This is a good point. So, yeah, your Sears and Roebuck 14-foot boat with a 3-horsepower outboard on it's not is no match for the tide in pretty much any tidal waters in Tillamook. You're not going to make it. Carry an anchor with you. Be sure to check those tides and weather. Know your risks and know, you know, that wind is strong, the water's cold, the tides can change, and the waterway may look beautiful 1 minute, especially Neetars. It is a beautiful place, but you're out in the water, you turn your back, you forget about it, and all of a sudden, the wind's picked up. Oh, the tide has changed. Oh, my 3-horsepower 1969 Evinrude is not powerful enough for me to get, you know.
Back to the shore, yeah.
Right. So
there's a lot of rescues in Neetarts Bay that I think are tide. People weren't paying attention to the tide and got stuck.
That's education too. A lot of people don't know what they're doing.
Sure, and go back to the tides. Yeah, like the bays, you go out and be clamming, and you'll get caught on one of those sandbars. It's beautiful. Boy, the clams are great. We're going to stick out there a few more minutes. All of a sudden, that tide went out fast, but it also came back in fast. Now I'm knee deep in water and can't get back to shore.
Yeah. I mean, that sand is mucky. Like it sucks you in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we don't, sometimes that, yeah, we're here on vacation. We're nothing's going to happen bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. Way to ruin a vacation. We're out of time. Anything else you guys want to mention?
I have all kinds of things to talk about.
I know. Wear a life jacket.
Be safe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't, don't call us and make us go to work. That'd be the answer.
Howie didn't mention it, but I'd like to, well, maybe end with this. Drinking on the water.
Oh, sure.
It's.
Well, what is the law?
You can't be intoxicated and operate a boat.
Okay.
So. Yeah, use your best judgment. Uh-huh. You should be the captain of the boat. Should be sober.
Yes.
Right. Think of a liability if you do something wrong and you've been drinking. You know, and you have that precious cargo on board, and you're responsible as the captain of the boat. The operator of the boat is responsible for everything that goes on board. Uh-huh. So, alcohol and boating absolutely do not mix. Uh-huh. It is not the place to be out.
I would assume also marijuana is probably the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't be high as a kite and operating a boat. You need to have your wherewithal.
Please don't. Yes. Okay. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
To see you.
Thanks for having us.
Yep. Here are my reminders for this week. Meals for Seniors in Rockaway has lunch at the St. Mary by the Sea Church Parish Hall on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. They are open at 10:30 with lunch served at 11:45. Meals for Seniors is also holding a French toast breakfast Saturday tomorrow from 8 to noon. Will you be there?
Yeah, plan on.
8 to noon tomorrow at St. Mary by the Sea. Breakfast includes French toast, link sausage, scrambled eggs, fruit, compost, coffee, and juice. All are welcome. Breakfast is by donation, supporting Meals for Seniors. Also in Rockaway, a lot of things happening this weekend. Blue Water Fine Art Gallery in Rockaway Beach has an opening reception tomorrow from 5 to 7 p.m. Meet international award-winning artists Victoria Brooks and Rich Brooks, each presenting a distinguished solo exhibition. Enjoy light refreshments and exceptional artistry. Admission is free and open to the public. Blue Water Fine Art Gallery is located at 119 South Miller Street in Rockaway Beach. Again, that's tomorrow from 5 to 7 p.m. Fair tickets and all-you-can-ride carnival vouchers are on sale now at the fair's website, tillamookfair.com, and also at the fair office, 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. Concerts this year include Nico Moon, Oregon's 234th Army Band, and Collective Soul. Get your tickets and carnival vouchers today at tillamookfair.com. And here are your farmers markets. Manzanita's Farmers Market is at the Underhill Plaza Friday from 4 to 7. Nesquin Farmers Market is at Proposals for All across 101 from the Wayside Saturday 9 to 1. Tillamook Farmers Market is in front of the Tillamook Courthouse Saturday 9 to 2. And Pacific City's Farmers Market is at the PC Library Sunday from 10 to 2. And here is your daily dad joke. I was so bored, I made a belt out of all my watches. It was a waste of time. Waste, W-A-I-S-T. Todd and Dennis, thanks again for your time this morning.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. And thank you, Tillamook, for listening.